How much of your day is spent on a computer, looking at your phone or doing something online? It's very easy to forget that just 60 years ago, none of this was possible. And by today's standards, the simplest calculations took weeks of combined work from lots of people. That is, until something called EDSAC came along. EDSAC stands for Electronic Delay Storage Automatic Calculator, probably why it's called EDSAC. It was built at Cambridge University shortly after the Second World War to start crunching through some of these complex maths problems in much less time and 1,000 times faster than otherwise possible. It was the first computer built for other people to solve problems on. Today, virtually nothing of EDSAC survives, but now a team are attempting to rebuild a working replica to eventually put on display in the National Museum of Computing at Bletchley Park. Nigel Benet is a retired physicist who's building a section in his garage in Cambridge, and Greg Jackson went to meet the man and the machine for a cup of tea and a trip through history.
Yes.
Nice to meet you.
I'm just going to make some tea. And would you like tea, coffee or something? Orange juice, water?
I'd actually love an orange juice. I'm feeling like a big kid.
We have gin and tonic. Whatever, you know,
it's not Friday just yet.
Immediately after the war, Maurice Wilkes, he'd worked on radar. And in radar, they'd managed to get a storage device where you could store the equivalent of 72 bytes in a 5-foot tube full of mercury.
That's not even a Word document, is it?
No, it's barely a character. You might get a tiny little icon out of it. So the biggest constraint to making a computer was, where can we store it? EDSAC had the largest memory that existed. It had about half a tonne of mercury.
Which equates to how many bytes?
2,300 bytes.
Still doesn't sound that much.
And that was the entire machine to hold all the program and all the data that you were going to execute.
It wasn't just important for terms of memory. My understanding is that lots of scientists were running lots of mathematical equations and women were taking months to do them. So it played a pretty fundamental role in science as well once it was built.
Absolutely. EDSAC claimed 3 Nobel Prizes. And the ladies you refer to were collectively as computers because they computed. They had to turn the handle calculator where you put the numbers on the thing, turn the handle. Very elegant, but very, very slow. To put it in context, EDSAC runs at about 1,500 times faster than one of those ladies would do.
Can we go and see it? Because I know you've got your own workshop dedicated to replicating it.
Yes, let's go and see it. What you can see here is about 25% of the EDSAC replica. There are 3 7-foot-high steel racks painted a nasty yellow colour. That's because they were in a film, The Imitation Game. These 3 racks represent the actual calculator part of the computer. A lot of the rest of the machine is to do with memory.
What I would describe what I'm looking at is what looks like a series of almost bookshelves. And on each shelf, there is hundreds of metal tubes, sun-painted bright red, almost like a lipstick. And this is just all various instrumentation to do maths, like a modern-day calculator, I might have on my phone.
Absolutely.
Take me through what would have happened back in the 1950s. I'm a scientist. I'd like to do, not my 2x table, I'd like to do something a bit more sophisticated than that. How would it work if it was in its full glory here?
So you were, forget the two guys' names, I should do, they both won Nobel Prizes, but they were trying to work out how nerve pulses propagated through nerves. But their theory involved a complicated balance or imbalance of chemicals going on. And these can be represented by differential equations.
Okay, so I've got my equation now, and you didn't have a lovely keyboard. How would you translate that into EDSAC?
You would type a paper tape.
Sorry, paper tape.
Right.
Let
me show you some 5-hole paper tape.
Right.
This little box here contains paper tape. That is program 17, and the date is 1968.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, it's almost like Braille, but instead of being a bump, you've hole-punched it through.
Yes. That goes into the computer, and then you'll have another tape where you've typed data in that you need to analyse.
Yep, so that goes into the machine. The machine does some magical maths, I assume.
Well, the maths actually isn't really so magical. It's all... The key thing about computers is that very rarely do anything complicated But they do complicated things by doing simple instructions, lots of them.
Given that lots of people are reconstructing EDSAC, I wonder what happened to it in the first place?
It was very unceremoniously dismantled and sold off as scrap metal. Some people did actually take them away as bookshelves.
Someone at home has EDSAC as their bookshelf. Well, why are you going about completely reconstructing it?
Before digital computers existed, there was no need to program them because no one had the concept. But once they existed, as Maurice Wilkes said, now we've got EDSAC, now we need to learn how to use it, i.e. how to program it. Well, that was the beginning of software, so that makes it very important. The second motive for it is the educational value. When school children come to the museum, beforehand they will be able to write programs for EDSAC. And when they come to the museum, it'll run their program, print out a result, and they can take that home with them. They will be programming at the nuts and bolts level of computing, and that's incredibly important.
I think especially so since so many people are out of touch with, I mean, I certainly have no idea how my computer works, yet I rely on it day in, day out.
You don't need to. And in my view, is in the 21st century, computer literacy is as important as learning to read and write and do arithmetic.
Greg Jackson speaking with Nigel Benet.